Let me ask you something. When you look in the mirror, what do you really see? I don't mean the surface. I don't mean your hairstyle or your tired eyes. I mean the real you. Do you see someone worthy of growth? Someone full of potential? Or do you find yourself focused on everything you're not? Welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast, where we explore how faith, calling, and personal growth can collide in powerful ways. I'm your host, Bruce Ritter, and in today's episode, we're tackling one of the most transformative truths in leadership and in life. It's the law of the mirror, the idea that you must see value in yourself to add value to yourself. I know it sounds simple, but most people, even high-capacity leaders, struggle to believe they're worth the investment. And that quiet war in our minds, it shapes our relationships, our confidence, and even our ability to lead others well. So today, we're going deep. We'll uncover how self-esteem shapes culture, why God's Word calls us to see more than just the reflection, and how you can break the cycle of self-doubt that's been holding you back. Because here's the truth. Your potential is real. Your calling is sacred. And the mirror that you've been avoiding, well, it might just be the place God wants to start your transformation. So let's dive in right here, right now, and only on the Five Gifts Podcast. You're listening to the Five Gifts Podcast, a weekly show designed to equip leaders in the Spirit-filled church. I'm Bruce Ritter, and along with my co-host, Charles Russell, we offer insights for leading the local church in the fullest expression of Jesus. If you're interested in learning more about practical theology, the gifts of the Spirit, and spiritual disciplines, this is the show for you. Welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast.
A Spirit-filled minister ready to take the next step in your ministry training? The Servant Leaders Cohort will help you earn your BA, MA, or DMin. We offer in-person instruction in a small group learning environment that is affordably priced. Instruction happens in monthly two-day intensives in the Triad of North Carolina. Degrees are approved and conferred by Vision Christian Bible College and Seminary. You can earn your bachelor's in 2 years, a master's in 15 months, or a DMin in 18 to 24 months. For more information, go to fivegifts.org/SLC.
Welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast today. It's great to be with you. For us, again, it's a Monday morning when we do our recording, and you may be catching us at some point during the week. But we're grateful that you've joined in with us on the Five Gifts Podcast, and today we have an exciting episode. But first, I want to welcome Charles, and Charles, it's good to see you. I hope you had a great weekend.
Hey, Bruce, good to see you. Good to be with all of our viewers, listeners. We had a fantastic weekend. And it's always good to be in a new church and have been building a relationship with a pastor. And so we were finally able to connect in their church and share about our ministry this weekend. So we had a great time doing that. But as always, excited to be here for a new episode. Great content, like you mentioned. And so we're going to have a great day here on the Five Gifts Podcast. And so, having said, you know, saying all that, today we're looking in the mirror. Now, that's a scary proposition. I try to avoid the mirror, but today we're gonna face facts and confront reality as we look into the mirror, not to see what's on the outside, but today we're going to discover what lies within. So here's a question to begin with. What do you see when you look in the mirror of your soul? John Maxwell once said that you must see value in yourself to add value to yourself. This is called the law of the mirror. And today we're going to unpack how your self-image either limits or it launches your leadership, and how you can renew your mind, reshape your narrative, and reclaim your God-given potential. But before we can grow, we have to know what it is that we're growing into. So, Bruce, what exactly is potential?
Well, potential is something I think we probably need to go back in time to get some perspective on. Doing some research into potential, it's been shaped, the idea of it's been shaped through the years. And even going back to Aristotle, who called potential dynamis. That's that possibility within something to become what it was meant to be. Like, for example, an acorn can become an oak. You know, biblically, you look at the mustard seed and what it can produce, and Jesus likens that to faith. But it has to be under the right conditions. There are certain factors that are part of people living into their full potential. And so, you know, Aristotle, great philosopher, is given a lot of credit for developing the idea of what we understand to be potential. And then one of the great theologians in Christianity, Thomas Aquinas, he added the theological lens to that. And he said that potential is your soul's capacity to be perfected or to fulfill its divine design. But again, it takes certain factors. It takes something outside of you, actually, to not only give you your potential, but there's factors outside of us that help develop our potential. And then, of course, one of our favorites, John Maxwell, he brings it home. He says potential is one of those wonderful words. It's something that is full of hope and promise and greatness. But again, potential is just that. It's not something that's automatic. It has lots of possibilities, but it takes work. Potential isn't something that's fixed either. It's expandable. It's something that you begin to discover and you begin to grow in. It's many factors, and probably your potential is not something you fully realize, again, because you can add to it. And but here's the rub. You have to choose to grow. If you want to reach your potential, you have to grow. In fact, John Maxwell says that. He says that kind of growth demands being intentional. So Maxwell recommends the law of the mirror, and we're going to look in the mirror today because that's where the journey begins. So the question is, how do you see yourself, how does how you see yourself affect how you live, how you lead, how you parent, how you develop your hobbies or your skills? How you see yourself is going to affect that. So let's talk about the mirror for a minute. Looking in the mirror really is about the power of a positive self-image or self-esteem, some people would call it. You know, the Bible uses the metaphor of a mirror. It's a thoroughly biblical metaphor. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, you know, the Apostle Paul describes how believers who are have the Holy Spirit, he says, we all with unveiled face behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. We're being transformed into that image from glory to glory. So you can't become what you see without the Holy Spirit. In fact, the Holy Spirit not only shows us our flaws, but he shows us our future. First, our potential, you know, we need to understand it's the fullest expression of Jesus and God's unique purpose and design for each of us. And the Holy Spirit will help us become what he enables us to see, as in Paul's analogy. We look into the mirror, we see Christ, and that's what we're becoming through the help of the Holy Spirit. Not just like Jesus in terms that we lose our identity, but God has an identity for us that's built on Jesus. And so his gifts, we see his gifts expressed in us. We see his purpose expressed in us, and we see his character expressed in us. So what you see in the mirror, if you're a believer, you see Christ. You see the potential of becoming more like him. In fact, you know, God's desire for each of us is that we be conformed to the image of his son. But that's the work of the Holy Spirit, his enabling grace that helps us to not only see that, but experience that kind of transformation. That's one biblical analogy. Another one is in James chapter 1, where James warns us. He says, when we look into the word, it's like looking into a mirror. But if we walk away unchanged, if we don't do what we're taught, the expression in the Bible is becoming hearers of the word and not doers of the word. And so James likens us to looking into the mirror of God's word, but we walk away unchanged because we don't do what it says. So while in one sense, the Holy Spirit is present to help us become like Christ, You know, James would say you've got to take some positive action. You've got to apply the work of God's Spirit through His Word in our lives. So if we take the analogy into understanding our potential and what we need to grow and expand our potential, then one of the factors is when it comes to your self-esteem. Now, self-esteem is often used as kind of that pop psychology buzzword, and it can be a compromised idea when people begin to think of it in terms of a self-centered, me-focused kind of a life. But really, self-esteem is a powerful and necessary building block to you understanding your gifts, your potential, and what you can build on. So, if you don't see value in yourself, you're not going to invest in yourself. If you have a low self-esteem, you're not going to see anything worthy to build upon, to develop, and you're going to leave a lot of your potential, your God-given potential, you're going to leave it sidelined. The truth is, if you don't value yourself, other people won't value. As John Maxwell puts it, he says, if you place a small value on yourself, rest assured the world will not raise the price. The truth is, self-esteem is something that you've got to resolve. You've got to understand. And so we think a healthy place is being reminded that because you belong to God through Jesus Christ, that you have a potential that God laid in your life when He created you, when He gave you the breath of life, as the Old Testament prophet says, when He knitted us together in our mother's bodies. There's a unique design for each of us, and honestly, we really need to come into contact with a healthy self-esteem so that we can tap our potential and grow into the kind of leaders, if you're a spiritual leader, or if you're a leader in the marketplace, you really have to come to terms with your self-esteem. So Charles, I've said a few things about self-esteem, but why does low self-esteem not just hurt you, but hurt the people around you?
Well, it's really likened to what we would call maybe a downward spiral, where low self-esteem oftentimes equals a low value of others. And so here's kind of how that spiral unfolds. It begins, low self-esteem really begins the cycle. Things like negative self-talk turns into internalized criticism. That becomes then sabotaged potential. When individuals don't believe in their own worth, they can doubt their potential, they can sabotage their own progress, and internalize criticism. We adopt negative self-talk like, well, I'm not good enough, or, I'll never be more than this. This is as good as it's going to get. So it begins. Low self-esteem starts the cycle. Then the next progression would be insecurity breeds defensiveness. So now all of a sudden, feedback, which is a good thing, but now in this part of the cycle, the spiral rather, feedback feels like a threat. Change feels like danger. And so now all of a sudden to protect our fragile self-image, people with low self-esteem may become defensive, overly sensitive to feedback, or even resistant to change. And now everyone around this individual is having to walk on eggshells, having to be extremely careful with what we say or do. These individuals feel threatened by others' success or by others' confidence, often interpreting it as a reflection of their own inadequacy. So the spiral continues to intensify with this third step, I guess, in the pathway, as comparison and judgment now begins to creep in. So instead of seeing others as teammates or fellow learners, they begin to compare constantly, and often it's to their own detriment. Now it's the comparison trap, as we hear a lot about, and it's not healthy. It continues to the deteriorating of this spiral. This comparison leads either to envy, resenting others' growth, or condescension, beginning to tear down others to feel better. So instead of teammates, people become competitors. And now it just, in the next, as it progresses, it intensifies. Now devaluing others becomes a habit. So tearing down now becomes the only way to feel tall. We have to tear down others to prop ourselves up. In order to maintain some sense of control or superiority, they may diminish others' value, diminish their abilities, even accomplishments. Phrases like, well, they just think they're better than me, or they don't deserve that success. This becomes the internal narrative for this individual. Then it all really comes to the point where now toxic culture emerges. So when this mindset spreads throughout teams, when it infects a family or broadens, widens out throughout the community, it creates environments where growth is stifled. People stop encouraging, they stop celebrating or supporting each other, and instead they engage in criticism, gossip is prevalent, even passive resistance. And as a result, growth dies. I mean, it stops in its tracks. Gossip thrives in its place. And encouragement evaporates. That's a terrible place to be. That's a terrible environment in which to live, to work. It's incredibly difficult to overcome that. But there's hope. Where I'm not trying to be the naysayer here today. There's hope. There's always hope. We can dismantle the spiral, and we can begin rebuilding. And so let's talk about that for a moment, how to break the spiral and begin to renew our self-worth. And so what has to happen in this situation is that we have to embrace the law of the mirror. What does that mean? It means that you and I individually, it means that we as a community, as a team, as a family, we begin to embrace the truth and the reality that we are valuable because God has made you. God has created us. And so by the simple fact that we are God's creation, we are valuable. And that has to become truth, and that has to become an anchor in our life. Our potential, your potential, is real because the Spirit of God lives in you. God himself is resident inside of you. There's great value in that. So look, your self-image can grow because the Spirit of God is active inside of you. And when you come to the place that you see yourself as valuable, now you begin to affirm others. Now you begin to celebrate growth. Now you begin to build culture rather than tearing it down. There's a quote by a gentleman by the name of Jeffrey Gabarino, and he says that the real contest is always between what you've done and what you're capable of doing. So Bruce, as we're talking about breaking this downward spiral, kind of rebuilding, where do we begin to renew our self-image and renew our security?
I think it's important to remember that you do have to take steps. There are some things that you need to do, And, you know, Charles, just hearing you talk about the toxic culture that you can build if you don't address this personally, you know, I know people probably don't tune in to hear my story, you know, but I can relate, man, especially being a younger leader in the ministry and having some insecurity. I can think about staff meetings, board meetings, moments where I was either overcompensating or shrinking back from challenges that you know, my own personal insecurities really hampered the team. It hampered communication. It set things out of balance. And sometimes things that needed to be said weren't said, and sometimes things that probably didn't need to be said got said. So, boy, I can relate to that. I just want to say, you know, when you talk about building your self-image, I think we go back to where we began, that, you know, the Holy Spirit is present in us, and as believers, we have a higher standard. You know, I'm not here to be a better version of me. I'm here to become like Jesus. It's like John the Baptist said, more of him, less of me. I've got to decrease so that he might increase. But getting practical, when we talk about some of the steps to build our self-image, I think it's really important to guard your self-talk. Now, you know, everyone has a tape in their head that runs. We used to call it a tape. Now it's probably like an MP3 or, you know, maybe a podcast file, but where you're rehearsing things that you believe about yourself. You're rehearsing your thoughts about what other people think of you. And but just remember that what you say, whether you say it verbally or whether it's a thought in your mind, what you say, you eventually believe it. And what you believe, you become. So, you know, guard your self-talk. Make sure that when you hear negative, limiting beliefs, we'll talk about some of those in a minute, but when they come up in your mind, you have to address those. Don't leave those beliefs unchallenged, and don't believe those opinions. Don't let those opinions run rampant, because what you say, you believe, and then what you believe, you become. I like the analogy that no one ever set a world record by saying I can't do this. You know, anything achievable is believed to be achievable, at least by one person. And so, speak life to yourself. Rehearse what the Word of God says about your identity. Rehearse what Jesus has done in your life. And it's helpful. I constantly teach on identity in Christ to our people, and I'm constantly giving them some of those in Christ statements that we find all throughout books like Ephesians and Colossians. So it's important, and you've got to take control of those conversations, those internal conversations in your mind. Secondly, stop comparing yourself to others. Learn to appreciate your uniqueness. Learn to appreciate your gifts. You know, one thing that you can do is value the strengths of others by also remembering that you have strengths that you contribute to your team. That's one of the beauties, I think, that's really happening in church ministry, is there's been a renewed focus on it takes a team. I roll my eyes at slogans, and I've probably rolled my eyes whenever I hear the phrase better together, because it sounds trite, but there's a lot of wisdom in that, if I'm honest. It, you know, and so learning to appreciate your gifts means that you're going to learn to appreciate other people's gifts. I know the expression stay in your lane is kind of dismissive, you know. Don't put yourself in on a path that, you know, you're not capable of leading. And so you hear that phrase a lot. Again, you know your place, but really know your place. Appreciate your place. Appreciate what you bring that other people aren't wired to do. anytime you compare yourself with someone, that can be a huge distraction. It's not a motivator. It constantly focuses on your limitations. It focuses on gifts you don't have. It focuses on a way you're not designed. So, you know, making comparisons with yourself and other people, that can be a powerful attraction that really is just an unneeded distraction to your own potential. So, you know, stop comparing yourself to others. And then thirdly, move beyond self-limiting beliefs. I like to introduce something that I think is really important, and it has to do with, you know, changing the conversation in your mind. And that's what we call turnaround statements. Turnaround statements are about reclaiming your inner narrative. It's about, changing the conversation in your mind, looking in the mirror with compassion and belief. That's important. That's an important part of it. It's the fact that real lasting growth begins when you start seeing yourself as someone who can grow, someone who's worth growing. And so you've got to change some statements. And like, for example, when you start saying, "I can't," that's a very limiting belief. We want to change that. We want to change that to, "I'm learning." Not that I can't, but you know, I'm in process. I'm learning something. Another one that's common is, "I'm stuck." We want to change that to, "I'm growing." I may be in a place where I'm not feeling a lot of traction and a lot of progress, but I'm learning from it. So there's some other example of turnaround statements. I'll just share a few of them with our audience. The one, "I'm not good enough." Change that. Remember, you can say to yourself, "I have unique value. I'm worthy of growth and investment." You might say, "I'm always messing things up." Well, change that. Your life is not one big mess. Change that. Begin to say, "I'm learning and I'm growing, and my mistakes are a way to take another step forward." Or, "I can't change." No, change that in your mind. Growth is a choice, and you can choose to improve every day. You might say, "I don't deserve success. I've committed a lot of errors. I've committed a lot of sins. I don't deserve success." Please change that. You know, the Holy Spirit is at work in you, and you should be able to say, "I am worthy of success because I'm committed to growth and service." Again, if you get into comparison, you're going to start saying, you know, "Other people do this better than I can. Remember, comparison is a killjoy. Don't get lost in comparison. Rather, say, "I choose to grow into the best version of myself. I choose to tap in the potential that God has given me." Not that He's given somebody else, but what He's given me. So, again, I think these are important statements. Again, changing that inner narrative in your mind is huge. Charles, what are some other ways that we prove to ourselves that growth is possible?
Well, I think it's a must that we practice daily disciplines and celebrate small victories. And, you know, that's easy to say and kind of roll off the tongue. But to really practice that, to practice daily disciplines, can be a difficult thing. Discipline is hard. It's harder for some than it is for others. But, man, to discipline oneself is paramount in this process of recreating and rebuilding our self-image. The other aspect of that is celebrating small victories. It's hard for some people to celebrate. It's hard for some people to celebrate. And so I'm just going to advocate today that we practice daily disciplines and that we celebrate small victories. And so how do we do that? I think the simplest way to do it, a great place to begin, is pick one area. All right. Don't try to rebuild Rome in a day. Just pick one area. pick one component, one aspect of that we've been talking about in regards to self-image. Pick one. And I would suggest maybe not even the one that's at the highest level of dysfunction. Maybe pick one that's working pretty well that you can strengthen, that you can improve. It's easier to improve something that has a bit of movement behind it. It's hard to drive a parked car. So even as you're thinking about, all right, where's an area of self-image, that I can improve? What's a component of that that's got some action to it, that's got some progress and movement behind it? Pick one of those areas instead of trying to pick something up off the floor. Pick one of those components that maybe has a bit of movement behind it and strengthen what's already working. Start there. Pick one area and practice one discipline. Don't wait for perfection. Don't wait until I've completed the goal. I've crossed the finish line. Look, celebrate progress while you're progressing. Don't wait until the end. Here's what I've found. I've never reached the end. There's always room for improvement. And so along the journey, learn to celebrate those wins while you're in process, while you're continuing to make progress. Celebrate the small wins. Celebrate the victories. And so once you practice a specific discipline, celebrate that as a victory. How about, you know, the first time that you practice it, the first time that you're beginning to make that change? What a great opportunity to celebrate it as a victory. Look, even small changes are changes. And so those are wonderful opportunities to celebrate victories. Are you trying to change? Do you change even a little bit, even the smallest incremental change? Then you've already tasted success, my friend. Celebrate small victories. Even one act of discipline proves that you're becoming who you are meant to be. So celebrate those small steps.
Charles, if I could add a thought, I just, my mind goes back to when we've taught on the railroad model. Mm-hmm. Just working on, you need new information. It might be a book, it might be a podcast, but work on it, work on an area. It could be skill development. It could be an aspect related to your current daily task that you just need to improve. But between getting the new information and working on it, we know that one middle relationship that you need is a mentor or coach. And boy, a good mentor or coach is going to help you celebrate. They're going to be your encourager. They're going to help you reflect. And as you're sharing that, that's where my mind went. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think, you know, you point out the relational component of that. Don't go this journey alone. Find someone to be in relationship with, to mentor you, to be a guide for you. They're going to unlock some things along the journey. And sometimes as human beings, we need permission to celebrate. I mean, that sounds weird to say that out loud. But sometimes I've found myself in talking with others, I've discovered in their life, I just need permission sometimes to celebrate. Mm-hmm. And so that you may find yourself in that situation. You need a relational influence in your life that says, hey, look how, it's only one step, but look how far you've come in that one step. Let's celebrate a little bit. Give yourself sometimes it's hard for us to give ourselves permission, but when we have a relational influence that someone we look up to or someone that's helping guide us through the process, it's easier to listen to to a fresh set of eyes, an outside voice, and say, yeah, okay, that kind of gives you a bit of permission to celebrate it. And so I agree with you, Bruce. If you're trying to go this alone, you're going to go a lot farther with a relational guide, mentor, coach through this process. And so, that's a great piece of wisdom that you brought out. Well, as we kind of continue reshaping, reforming self-image, and again, we want to encourage, don't go it alone. Go with a relational guide, coach, a mentor through this. What we want to encourage to continue happening is to begin to envision the future. And so think about the future. What's the future going to look like? What could be? What could become? And you want to begin to shape the future with your values. And so I don't want you to think of values as being confining in a negative sense, but maybe shaping and bringing some structure to your future. So a transition question to ask yourself could sound something like this: what kind of future would you build if you believed you were worth it? Now, there's power, there's depth, there's substance to that question. What kind of future would you build if you believed that you were worth it? That's what values help to begin to shape the future. The values are what I believe about myself. Values help shape that. Values help shape how I'm going to walk into and progress into the future. So begin to list your values. Values are those non-negotiables in your life. These are the whys. Everybody, we like to talk about what I'm going to do and how I'm going to do it, but you really want to drill down to the why. Why is it that you want the future to look this? Why do you want to build this kind of future? These begin to point back to our values, these non-negotiables that provide structure, that provide shape and contour to what the future is going to look like. And so when you have values in place, when you understand the why, when you understand the values that shape the future, you can begin to make decisions now based on those values. Now, the future is not some kind of loosely defined, ethereal kind of thing that's just floating out there. But now the future is well defined because your values have brought shape and have brought definition to the future. And so you can now begin to make decisions based on those values that you have that you formed up. You know, I oftentimes when we teach and we help others, be it an individual or a church or an organization, try to help them understand that values are like the guardrails. You know, if vision is mm-hmm. is the lane that we're running in, or the multiple lanes that we're traveling in, values become like the guardrails. And so we're going to fulfill vision in this manner, in these lanes, but the values of my life, the values of this family, the values of this church, the values of this team really bring shape and structure to provide the boundaries within which we're going to fulfill vision. And so values are extremely important. And so we want you to begin to think about those, pray about those. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit. One of those gifts is discernment. Begin to pray, God, what is given? Help me to discern these values. that brings shape to the future. So here's a simple exercise for value identification, I guess. If you could pick just one word to describe yourself, what would it be? All right, one word. We're not writing a paragraph. We're not writing a short story. One word. If you could pick one word to describe yourself, what would that one word be? Now, if the word you chose is not positive, then you need to drop that word, all right, and pick another word. We're kind of recreating ourselves, and so if we lean to the negative responses, we're changing that. We're building our self-image. So drop the negative words, and you need to identify a positive word that you feel like really encapsulates who you are, that describes yourself. Now, you've kind of identified the word. Let's kind of amp up the exercise a little bit. Let's go up a level and, do a search for images of that word using a search engine, an image search. Pick one that fits your word. Oftentimes, seeing a visual representation can inform your sense of vision or purpose. And so take some time and identify that one word. What's the one word that really that you feel like encapsulates who you are? And then try to bring an image to that. Try to combine word and picture, if you will, and to really inform your sense of vision or purpose. Then, listen, the last thing that I want to share, kind of a final thought would be, is to take responsibility for your life. Take responsibility for your life. No one can grow for you. No one can build your self-esteem. The good news is no one can stop you from choosing to see value in yourself. Listen, friend, you have significant, we can't emphasize that word enough, you have significant potential, but only you can choose to see it and to grow into it. You are made in God's image. You are empowered by His Spirit, and you are becoming more than you have ever imagined because you are looking in the mirror with new eyes.
Charles, those are some great insights. I appreciate you sharing those. And I think the idea of coming up with your value words is very important. We actually have a tool that we're going to post in the show notes that you can use. It's a quick one-page assessment, but it helps you chart out some of your values and helps you narrow your sense of purpose and calling. And I really encourage you to do the like a Google image search, or maybe use another search engine, and just type in that value word and just begin to scroll through images. I think that can be a really powerful exercise. We're so glad that you could join us today on the Five Gifts podcast. Before we wrap up, we want to remind you, you're worth the work. Growth starts when you look in the mirror and you choose to believe in your God-given value and potential. If today's episode encouraged you, here's what you can do next. Subscribe to the Five Gifts podcast. We encourage you to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And you'll find that our content will help you grow in faith, leadership, and purpose. You can also share this episode with someone who needs it. That's something I'm always finding when I listen to other people preach. I'm thinking what other people need to hear this. You know, I'm fine. I don't need it. Chuckle, chuckle. But share the episode with someone else. You might recognize some of your colleagues, someone that would benefit from our content. You never know whose life that you could impact. Also, leave a review. Whatever podcast app you use, we're on all of them, on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, iHeartRadio. Your feedback helps us reach more people with the messages that matter. And if you want to go deeper, and we say this every week, but we offer personal and leadership coaching to help you live out your calling with clarity and confidence. Whether you're navigating your identity, your purpose, your influence, we can walk with you through it. So you can reach out to Charles at charlesrusselltraining.com and charlesrussellministries.com. You can reach out to me at coachingcardia.com. You can visit our website or message us directly on social media to schedule a free discovery call. We want to invite you. We're ready to help you, and we can do this together. Until next time, we want to encourage you to keep looking in the mirror with faith and hope. You're becoming exactly what you're created to be, and the Holy Spirit is going to help you. And we'll see you next week right here on the Five Gifts Podcast.
You've been listening to the Five Gifts Podcast. If you would like to take the next step as a spiritual leader, we invite you to visit either of our websites or contact us for leadership coaching. We can help you reach the next level in your own growth and leadership. We provide leadership, spiritual gift, and personality assessments that give you a better grasp of your leadership style. And we also create a customized growth plan that empowers you to reach your full kingdom potential. We can't wait to hear from you.